The following is a presentation of the Potter's House of Camdenton.
Here's the thing. When you think about taking it to the streets, whether you and I like it or not, there's no plan B. We'd sure like to stuff it off on somebody else and say, well, that's their job. Or we'd like to opt out and say, I'm introverted. I really struggle having these conversations. I really struggle even inviting somebody. Yet at some point, you finally have to come to grips with, there is no plan B. We're it. If we don't do it, nobody else will. If we don't tell others about Jesus, nobody else is going to. And so often, you have to start with, why do we do this? Just because. Because God's Word says so. And then you find the seriousness of it, not only in the commands, but you find the seriousness of it in who Jesus is, in the fact that He came to do primarily one thing, die. Of course, He had to live a perfect life. Of course, He had to live a sinless life. But He came primarily to live that life and to die. And using John the Baptist's words from John chapter 1, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's pointing to Jesus. But then when you look in the mirror with God's Word and you see the reflection that comes back, and you line yourself up, and I line myself up with who Jesus is and God's standard is, we suddenly realize that it's much more dire than what we ever thought. Most of the time, what we do is compare with each other. And most of the time, we pick someone that we think their life is really not as good as ours. And then we can look in the mirror and go, probably off the hook. I'm probably not as bad off as I thought I was. And then you read something like Romans chapter 3, when God's Word describes us, and we go, ow, that hurt. Here's the Lamb of God that was slain for the sin of the world, and here we are. The scriptures say their mouths are open graves. Fortunately, it doesn't stop there and says that by faith, you and I can have this cleansing relationship with the Father in heaven because Jesus' blood is applied to our lives and our sins when we, what's the word? Believe. Have faith in. One's a verb, one's a noun. Believes the verb, faith is the noun. And that brings us to today then and next week of kind of the whole crux of this series of where does that leave us then as Christ followers? Because so many of us land at, okay, I believed, I've professed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and we kind of land there and we stop. As if that's the totality of everything in our lives. And it's simply not. It never has been God's plan to just, oh, wow, I got right with God. I got my ticket punched. I'm on my way to heaven. Oh, wow. And then we just kind of go on living. And it'd be nice if it was that easy. I guess it would be that nice. I'm not sure. But God's Word's really clear. It's our call then, once we know, once we've received, once we have believed, once we've been forgiven, once we've been cleansed, then we take it out to the streets. We have the call, the responsibility, the privilege of taking what we've been given and passing it on and passing it along. It's not just ours to hang on to. It's not just ours to cling to and go, this is mine, this is mine. And it's kind of like in walking with my children through their adult years and releasing them and not hanging on to them, but letting them become adults. And now Katie's expecting her second child, and to see the pictures of this unborn child and to see his hand waving, and that's the kind of news you don't keep to yourself. Today it's on Facebook everywhere. Why is it, though, we're so timid with our faith? I'm not really sure. Don't have all the answers. What I want to talk about is three groups of people. That's not correct. Not three groups of people, but three ways that would describe us today as to who we are in terms of taking it to the streets and letting it be known. Here's not only who we are, but more importantly, whose we are and who He is. And to take the light off of us and point it all towards Him. And the first group, the first word to describe us is announcers. We're the announcers. When John the Baptist arrives on the scene in the first century AD, he arrives ahead of Jesus Christ the Messiah. He becomes this voice of crying out and preparing this path for Jesus to come behind him to say, he's the one. And we're the announcers. And this is how John, the gospel writer, speaks of John the Baptist. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness. So John's description of John the Baptist is to tell about the light so that everyone could believe. He was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. And the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He's that announcer of saying, here's who Jesus is. Later on in that same chapter, verse 15, John, the gospel writer, says, John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, this is the one I was talking about when I said, someone who is coming after me, who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. And then verse 19, this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders sent priests and temple assistants from Jerusalem to ask John, who are you? And he came right out and said, I'm not the Messiah. Well, then who are you? They asked. Are you Elijah? No, he replied. Are you the prophet we're expecting? No. Then who are you? We need an answer. What do you have to say about yourself? And John replied in the words of the prophet Isaiah, I'm the voice. I'm a voice. It's who we are. We're a voice. We're the announcers. We're the proclaimers. All of us have a voice. And what we need to spend the bulk of our time announcing is who Jesus is. That's taking it to the streets. We're a voice. We're a voice. We're a voice. We can talk about weddings and pregnancies. We can talk about life and death. We can talk about tragedies and triumphs. But for some reason, when it comes to Jesus, we clam up. We're a voice. We've all got a voice. And here was John's words, John the Baptist. Clear the way for the Lord's coming. Then the Pharisees who'd been sent asked him, if you aren't the Messiah or Elijah or the prophet, right, what right do you have to baptize? See, they're asking all the wrong questions. See, often we're asking all the wrong questions. And John told them, I baptize with water, but right here in the crowd is someone you don't recognize. Though his ministry follows mine, I'm not even worthy to be a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. Wow. A voice. A voice. An announcer. An announcer. That's it. Then the next word to describe us is pointers. Announcers and then pointers. There's great confusion today. Please listen very carefully. There's great confusion today in the body of Christ. Because whether you admit it or I admit it, this is true, what I'm going to tell you. We enjoy being pointed at and patted on the back. And we need to be deflectors and point to Jesus. Point. Man, John the Baptist, of all the people I want to meet when I get to heaven, John the Baptist is the person I really want to meet. Because he has this unbelievable understanding and grasp of what was really going on in his life. And he was at a crossroads, I think. He was at a crossroads of all these people coming to him and saying, who are you? And who are you? And who are you? And who are you? Are you? Are you? Are you? Are you? And he kept doing this. He not only was that voice, he kept pointing. Kept pointing. Kept pointing. He kept pointing. He never felt like he was anybody. And I think what permeates the body of Christ today is a sense of arrogance and self-importance and self-absorption that causes us to want to be the one pointed at rather than, there he is. There he is. There he is. The position I'm in, the position everybody on the praise team's in, the position that all leadership is in, is the most dangerous positions to be in. Because we get the accolades that can cause our heads to go, dangerous. And we have to work on very hard and intentionally. Not me. It's him. It's him. It's him. It's not me. I will tell you straight up. If it wasn't for Jesus, I wouldn't be in just the deep weeds. I'd be headed for hell. And not only would I be headed there, I would deserve to go there. And I still deserve to go there. I don't get to go to heaven because I'm a pastor. I get to go to heaven because Jesus died for me and I place faith in him. He did all the work. I didn't even have the faith to put faith in him. He gave me the faith. Him. I haven't done anything. Nothing. Doing this, it's not me, it's him. I don't do it. Because I don't like to be in front of people. And we have to keep pointing and pointing and pointing people to Jesus. John chapter 1. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, 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 the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's the one I was talking about when I said, a man is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me. I did not recognize him as the Messiah, but I've been baptizing with water so that he might be revealed to Israel. Later on, the same chapter. The following day, John was again standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, look, 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 there's the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Now, it's interesting. You don't see John going, "Well, hey, he might be the Messiah, but get back here." He's going, "Go. It's him. It's him." So you have announcers, and you have inviters, or you have pointers, and then you have inviters. See, we all have a voice, and we can all point. We're all good at pointing, right? Go ahead, get your pointer out. Go ahead, we're all good at pointing. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Point your finger at me, Amy. See that? And we all have a voice. Do y'all have a voice? Yes. Yeah, I'm not sure why Jackie looked at David when I said, "We all have a voice." Not sure. I'm not really sure why that happened. It's funny how we respond to things. It's like her head almost went around. And then we can all be inviters. One of the most basic forms of evangelism is, "Hey, would you come to church with me? Would you come to church with me? Would you come to my small group? Would you come into worship with me? I'd really like to see you come to worship with me." When John points out, John the Baptist points out, there he is, some of the following passages are these. John chapter 1, verse 40 and 41. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of these men who heard that John said what John said and then followed Jesus. Andrew went to his brother Simon and told him, "We have found the Messiah," which means the Christ. When you have great news, you want to share it. And when you've met somebody like Jesus, you want somebody else who doesn't know Jesus to know Jesus. And you want to invite them. John 1:43. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Come follow me." Philip was from Bethsaida, Andrew and Peter's hometown. Philip went to look for Nathanael and told him, "We found the very person Moses and the prophets wrote about. His name is Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth." So here's this setting for us and examples for us of here these early men being introduced to Jesus, and they immediately go and get somebody else and invite somebody else. Come on, you've got to come and see him. The power of invite. Have you ever thought about that? Sometimes we downplay our lives and the power of inviting someone. And we prejudge. For the most part, we will prejudge and go, "Well, if I invite them, what if they ask me? They're probably not interested. I probably shouldn't invite them. Or, they might go to another. They might be offended." What if you just actually stepped out there and invited them? What might happen? Wow. Yeah. The power of inviting one person. And that may have been Sagebrush Church. What about you and the Potter's House? So it's important to keep inviting, to keep inviting, to keep inviting, to keep inviting. Not to get them to come to church, but to point them to Jesus and to know that Jesus will be announced and sang and proclaimed when they show up here. Would you bow with me, please?